This weekend, it was difficult to prepare a homily. We have a veritable plethora of themes flying around in the church literature for this weekend. We just finished a week of prayer for the victims of human trafficking. We are in the middle of the octave of prayer for Christian unity. And this week, we pray a novena for the victims of abortion on this weekend of the dread anniversary of Roe versus Wade. And overlaying all of this is the political stress and turmoil that has shredded our country for the last several weeks. And this is the Sunday that our Holy Father has asked us to meditate on the Word of God. This is the Sunday of the Word of God. And I think we can look at the Word of God as a means of unity and focus in the midst of all these disturbances and thoughts that are flying around. Jonah was a prophet of the 8th century before Christ from the northern kingdom. In his world, human trafficking and slaves was an everyday thing. The economy was built on it. He lived among the Israelites, his own people, many of whom had abandoned the covenant with God and offered human sacrifice, killing their babies and young children to ensure the fertility of their fields and the prosperity of their businesses. And overlaying all this was the threat of Assyria. The Assyrians are rightly considered the Nazis of the ancient Near East. In the monuments they have left us of their victories, we can see the horrendous brutality of the warfare that they engaged in against their neighbors. The rape, the pillage, the burning, the flaying alive of their victims, and the wholesale selling of whole populations into slavery. And the word of God comes to Jonah, "Go preach in their city of Nineveh." And Jonah refuses. And God has to persuade him by means of a whale. And so Jonah turns and he obeys. And he goes to the great city of Nineveh and he preaches the word of God. And much to his surprise, they repent of their sin. And God turns from his wrath to mercy. The Word of God, the divinely inspired Scripture. It's the matrix of our life in the church. It's the basis of our catechesis. In it, we learn of the covenant. In its wisdom, we are taught right from wrong. The prophets call us to repentance, and the gospel opens up the vision of new life. It is the basis of our meditation. We do not turn to empty our minds in some vague mindfulness. We chew on the Word of God and let it refashion our hearts. And it is the basis of our prayer, the rosary, all our devotions, the psalms, the liturgy. You can't go more than two or three phrases without hearing words that echo the Word of God. But it's not just words on the pages of a book. The writer to the Hebrews tells us, "In times past, God spoke in partial and various ways to our ancestors through the prophets. In these last days, he spoke to us through his Son." The Gospel of John begins, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Jesus himself is the Word of God, and He is expressed in this book. He is the expression of the Father's will. The church teaches us He is present in His Word, for it is He Himself who speaks when the Holy Scriptures are read in the church. So He comes to us and He speaks to us. St. Jerome remarked, "Ignorance of the Scriptures is ignorance of Christ." His Word to us in the Scriptures, it is how we meditate and chew upon the Word and let Him change us. And He draws us from His Word through our meditation to contemplate His face in the Blessed Sacrament. In His Word spoken to us, and in the Word He impresses on our hearts. Christ comforts us. The psalm said, "He shows sinners the way, He guides the humble to justice, and teaches the humble His way." He challenges us, "Repent and believe the gospel." He calls us, "Come after me." He empowers us, "I will make you fishers of men." And Peter and Andrew, James and John, abandoned their nets. That is the meaning of repentance, to change your mind, to turn around, to do something different. You can't go back to routine after you have heard the call. That's the meaning of what St. Paul is talking about. It sounds terrifying. Brothers and sisters, time is running out. If you have a wife, act like you don't have one. If you're weeping, stop weeping. If you're rejoicing, stop rejoicing. If you're buying, act like you own nothing. Because the world is passing away. Now, I can't tell you how that applies to your life. That is something that you have to search out in your prayer. What are our nets that we have to abandon? What is the call we hear? What is the mission that you and I are called to in the midst of the chaos of all these things in the world around us? That takes focus. That takes concentration. That takes seeking His face. Prayer involves listening as well as speaking. Discipleship must be intentional. On the Mount of Transfiguration, the disciples saw Jesus revealed in all His glory. Then a cloud came, casting a shadow over them, and from the cloud came a voice, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to Him." Praise be Jesus Christ.